Last week we heard a word from Matthew 7, and if I can just revisit that quickly, because what we want to share this morning came from questions that has been asked after the word of last Sunday. So if we can get that first slide up, I made some of these calculations, and I said faith equals works plus salvation. So what actually I'm trying to say there is faith results in works and salvation. Now, it can be confusing. What does works mean? What does faith mean? And what does salvation mean? So I just quickly want to visit works and salvation. I put it in Afrikaans as well, for the work was like on that and Regan. And I thought afterwards, maybe it is confusing. Let's rather say, I think what Jesus is trying to teach in Matthew 7 is that there will be fruits on genuine faith. The rebirth of the Spirit will be followed by fruits. And he's actually reaching out to the church, to believers, and he said, because he's loving them, we started off by saying, what is the result of God's love? And his desire, his love, made him send his son, that each one may have eternal life. And therefore Jesus comes and he warns us, and he says, please make sure that you bear the fruit of repentance. I don't want you to come and stand before me and I have to say to you, go away from me, I do not know you. That's basically the word of last week. So I thought maybe fruits is better than works, because we get confused with works, and there's also a negative connected to works. I just quickly want to say something about salvation. Because actually this morning I want to talk about faith. Salvation, we see that salvation is used in three areas or in three ways in the New Testament. And salvation is used when it is talked about coming to Christ for the first time. I've received my salvation. It's used there. So it's got to do with repentance, the rebirth of the Spirit, and now we stand righteous before God. So we are justified before God because of the blood of Christ. So in that way, salvation is used. There's a second way salvation is used, and that is that work out your salvation. That has to do with sanctification, the continuous change of us becoming Christ-like after we have come justified and righteous before God through the blood of Christ. And then we also see that salvation is used in the area where it says you will receive your salvation when Christ returns. So he talks about salvation starts with justification, with the rebirth of the Spirit. That's where salvation starts. It continues through sanctification, and it ends up, salvation is completed when Christ returns. And salvation is completed when you stand before Christ and he says to you, well done, faithful servant. At that moment, salvation is complete. Salvation fruits. We know about, we don't have to talk about fruits. Fruits is when we bear fruits that is showing that we've met with Christ. We talked last week about me running in here and saying that a truck ran me over. Well, I'm lying, because there's no evidence that a truck ran over me. And sometimes we live like that. We say we've met Christ, but there's no evidence that we have met Christ. And we've got a new spirit, and the fruits testifies of that. And that's why Jesus came in Matthew 7, I'm going through the whole sermon again. That's why Matthew 7 says, please, while you've got the chance, make sure you are bearing the fruit. Otherwise, when you come to stand before me, it's too late. You can't do anything about it. Then we've got now the chance to make sure, to put our life next to the word and make sure that we are bearing the fruit of salvation, the fruit of meeting with Christ, our Savior. So that's where we ended up. So you can just go to the next slide. I said faith is. The next slide I said, so what is faith then? Because if we say faith results in all these things, it's pretty important we understand faith, otherwise we miss it altogether. And I just want to stand still, because I think we do, we struggle with faith sometimes. So what is it? It's such a term that we struggle to get handles on it. And I want to try and make it very simple and practical and show us a lifestyle of faith. We many times try to tell testimonies to explain faith, And somebody will sit from the outside looking at it and says, I don't know how it works in my life. So that's why we try and put up definitions of faith, and I try to just put something together concerning that faith piece. Now, just quickly, I want to say Hebrews 11:6. I want to read that and say, "And faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." That scripture says that without faith, you cannot approach God. There's no forgiveness. There's no deliverance. There's no salvation. There's no communion. There's no spiritual life. Ons kan nie tot God nader as ons nie geloof het nie. Daar is nie redding nie, daar is nie genesing nie, daar is nie breakthrough nie, niks gebeur sonder geloof nie. So it's very important to ask the question, do I have faith? One thing that I was so excited to see this week is that as I was asked some questions on Monday morning concerning the started reading again, and there was one thing that stood out for me that I want to leave with you guys, because what we talked about last week is that if you go through the narrow gate, you should stay on a narrow way. That's where the scripture started last week. So the narrow way and the narrow gate leads to eternal life. And what I see in my own life, what I sometimes do, because I can testify of my first time meeting Christ and my whole spirit being changed in that moment when I met Him. But what we normally do is we go through that, we go through the narrow gate, and then we think there's a load put onto us where we have now to do the works or bear the fruit or work out that fruits after we have received Christ. So I can really testify of the way faith worked for me when I came the first time to Christ and He changed me. And I want to read you a scripture that shows that that faith that you experienced when you came to Christ is the same faith that should continue after you came to Him. In every little moment of your life, it's exactly the same thing happening. Coming to God in any situation, it's the same faith word. And I just quickly want to read a scripture concerning that. It's Colossians 3, 2, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. See that it says that as you receive Him, keep on walking in that. It's the same faith. It's not a different faith that helped us to be sanctified than the one that helped us to be reborn. It's the same faith. It works the same way. There's no difference between the two. And then it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. So we are coming to Christ, and I'll talk now about a little bit about that. And ek kan onthou toe ek na die Here toe gekom het, ergens in Februarie van 2003, het ek met 'n totale nederigheid en gebrokenheid voor Hom gekom. Ek het met 'n afhanklikheid gekom. There was a desire to meet Him. There was also an expectation that I would be met. I had expectation that God would reach out to me. And there was a sincere heart. I had a sincere heart reaching out to God. And I want to say that should be part of the way we are reaching out to God. We are keeping our eyes on God. There should be expectation, a desire, humility, a sincere heart, and a dependency. I depend on you, God, to meet me here. When I came the first time, that's the way it worked. But now, after that, we tend to take the load upon ourselves, and we walk away from that type of relationship. Now we have to do it. We have to look it out. We're going to carry it. Christ is now in me. I'm led by His Spirit, now I'm going to do it. Maybe some of you are sitting here and thinking, now that you can read the definition, just sharing a few things, I hope it comes together at the end. You can read the definition of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1. So let's quickly read it, and I want to say something from that. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And what I want to, say from this sentence, it shows more to the result of faith than the essence of faith. Dit praat meer van wat gebeur wanneer geloof beoefen word, as wat dit werklik sê, wat is die kern of die binnekops van geloof. En ek wil, is daar ding wat ek baie meer stream, goed, wat is die kern van geloof, hoe werk dit, hoe praktiseer ek dit, want as ek daar in lees het, dan weet ek ook nie hoe met die practice. I quickly just want to say from Ephesians 2 verse 8, we see that the source of faith is that it is a gift from God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. So, faith is coming from God. It's not something that you yourself can't generate yourself. The scripture says it's from God. It's a gift from Him. And there's another scripture, that second thing that I want to say with it from Romans, that says that, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Somebody gave me a book to read, and I must say it has meant a lot to me. And Tozer is writing, and he's taking the picture where Jesus himself in John 3 is talking about eternal life. And he takes Numbers 21. It's about the Israelites that has been bitten by the snakes. And what did Moses have to do? He had to raise a copper snake on a pole. And then he says, everyone that looks at the snake will live. So I just put down, there was a serpent on a pole. Those who were looking at it shall live. And then Jesus says, in the same way, the Son of Man will be on the cross. And those who believe in Him will have eternal life. And what Tozer does is he says, looking to that copper snake and believing is putting the same frame. It's the same thing. So what Tozer says is, from this, he says, Jesus is saying, looking at and believing is the same thing happening. So I want to put it in other words, the definition that Tozer wrote on this, he said, on the next slide, he said, faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. I tried to put it in Afrikaans, I just don't know how. I want to read the English again. Faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. Geloof is the vervestigde poel van 'n mens op 'n reddende God. As you read that, I hope you see something in the way we came to Christ that first time. It is our eyes fixed upon Him, looking up from ourselves outside to this God, hoping that He will meet with us. And in the same way that we are looking out that first time, the same way we should continue to look out, away from ourselves, away from all the other things we try to look at. And here, wil ons altyd aanmoedig dat dit ons kan as ons deur die Here woord gaan, ek wil net op en almal aanhaal, maar ons sien hoe dat in Psalms se Dawid gereeld sê, ek vestig my oë op God. Kom ons dink aan nog 'n paar voorbeelde van Petrus, he beat his eyes away from Christ, as he walked in the water. There's so many similar descriptions of having our eyes, our inner eyes, our the eyes of the heart, fixed to God. Nowhere else. And that fixing of our eyes, the fixing that gaze upon God, is what faith means. Our consistent dependency and looking at God and not away from Him, not at anything else. Hebrews 12, verse 11 and 12 says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which cleaves so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Ons weer but looking at Jesus, not taking our eyes away from God and gazing upon Him. And that is descriptive of the faith that we practice daily and in every moment and in every situation, looking away from ourselves. I said, faith is looking out instead of in. Faith is looking out instead of in. Now, I read something else that says, unbelief has put self where God should be. Unbelief has put self where God should be. Ongeloof plaas mense, geld, dink julle self, waar God moet wees. Hier beskryf die consistent looking upon God. Not only to save us, but to sanctify us as well. To come back again. Lift your eyes unto God and the blessed fruit of faith begins. En wat ek in my eie lewe ervaar, and I want to encourage you, and most of you will testify the same thing. As we are looking towards God, He that is in me starts to work. Not only out there, but in me. And that faith, that is the way we practice faith. While looking towards the One. And as we look out to Him, the Word also says that God is looking at the earth, letting His eyes run to and fro, seeking for the righteous, looking for you. And we should know that this is what the Word promises to us. As we look towards God, His eyes meet us. His eyes meet us. Ek wil dit ook vir elkeen van ons sê, die Here het genade vir ons, vir die tye wat ons wegkom. He's got grace for us, because we all are looking away from Him. Die uitdaging vir ons is, as soon as we realize we haven't got our eyes fixed upon God, we should return our eyes. We should return back to Him. And God has grace for that. God is even working around us and in us to get us to get our eyes back on Him. And that's what the Word describes, is that God is always looking. It says, even in Sodom and Gomorrah, He was looking there and saying, is there any righteous? Is there one that is looking at me or not? And I will say the city. Ek wil ons gemeente, want wat ons kan doen, as ons terug gaan aan die eerste slide, is ons kan in werke geval. En iets wat ek in my eie lewe ervaar, is seker van die moeilikste goed om van te repent is van goeie werke. Is om van goeie werke te repent. En wat is goeie werke? As jy teruggaan na Matteus 7, waar die Here hierdie ouens wat voor hom staan sê, go away from that and thank you. What did they say to Christ? We've preached in your name. One of those things, all good works. He says, go away and thank you. So one of the most difficult things for us to repent from is from good works. So what is this good works I'm talking about? It's works that I'm doing by myself. It's good, but it's not by God. It's not through the leading of the Spirit. It's the word calls it dead works. And many times we call it good works. And God wants us to be totally free of doing works. He wants us to keep our eyes on Him, listening to Him, allowing Him to lead us, not only to that first meeting where our spirit is reborn, but that continuous sanctification, deliverance, changing of us. A Christ follower must become Christ-like. It's not by our own doing, we can't do it. It is by keeping our eyes on Christ and allowing Him to work in us, and being obedient to the Spirit's voice inside of us, and then start walking in it. And know that God has got grace. When we look away, He normally comes, and we know we're looking away, and He's encouraging each one of us to put our eyes back again on Him. So I just want to, maybe that's back to the second word that we received in the morning. I want to close with the last slide that says, just to help you, so make it practical. How do we do it? How do we build our faith? And I want to encourage all of us, there should be a daily looking upon Christ. There should be a daily looking towards God. It should never stop. It should be, because God did not come to us, send His Son, to see fruits only. You want to see that fruits from a relationship, not from works. And that's why He's asking us, look at me. Keep your eyes on me. I want a relationship with you. So there's a daily looking relationship with God. And it's something we can practice. It's something that we can choose. It's something that we can be aware of. It's something that we can do even if we are selling clothing at the study here at the Athletics. Our eyes can be on Christ. And while our eyes are on Christ, busy with our daily work, we see the opportunities to go with Him. I think the second and the third we all know, which is don't do it, and that is a consistent intake of the Word. It's a consistent eating of the Word. And thirdly, it is involvement with the body, and I would just like to put with it society as well. If we want to build our faith, we need to be part of the body, but also to interact with society outside. And somebody can sit here and say, oh, maybe the definition is a little bit too simple. How can looking at God be faith? How can gazing on the soul and the dependency on God be faith? But what I believe, what the Word teaches each one of us is, to have faith is not difficult. It's not supposed to be available for some and for others not. I think the way God designed faith is that even the weak can lift its eyes towards God. It's available for each one. It's available at every place. It's not only here. In every place we are, and I think we've got many testimonies here at different places out at sea. In any place, do you agree that the faith that saves, the faith that changes, should be available for everyone in every place? If it's not, how can God be just? God is just. He's loving. And therefore, I want to encourage us. That faith that saves and changes is available for each one. And it's available in any place, any situation. We can just lift our eyes to God. Look out at it and depend on Him. We walk daily in that way. It's those eyes. Father, thank you that the faith that saves is available for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that it is available in every situation and all over this earth, from the highest to the lowest place, from the richest to the poorest. The faith that saves is there and is there for each one. And Father, this morning our hearts is, Lord, that if there is anyone here, Lord, that has not chosen this faith, Lord, that your love will lead them to repentance. The fact that you love them, that you've done everything for them just to lift their eyes upon you. I pray, God, for their souls to be saved. I pray for your Spirit to work in each one of them. I pray for your body, Father, to love them, to be light in the name of Jesus. And Father, I also want to pray for each one that already chose this faith. I pray, God, that we will daily walk in this faith, that we will continue in Christ, that we will continue with our eyes fixed upon you, hearing your voice, feeling your power working inside of us, allowing that to work in and through us to change and to become Christ-like. I pray, God, that each one of us will this morning see that it is possible. And that everything is possible because of the relationship available with you. I pray, God, that this word this morning will help us to walk in faith, to practice faith. Because in a way, it's so easy to keep our eyes constantly on you. Thank you, Father, that you have grace for us. That when we look away, that you leave the 99, you come looking for us, you pull us back, and your eyes are waiting for us and meeting us as we look up. I pray, Lord, that each one of us will look up. Father God, I'm praying for every person here this morning, Father, to this year to see more of their calling in you. Father, to see where they are going. I pray, Lord, that there will not only be change in their circumstances, but there will also be change in them. And we trust you for that this morning, Father. I pray, Lord, help us to make love a verb towards our wives, our husbands, our children, our co-workers. I pray, Lord, that we will bear fruit, that we will draw people to you. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.